You're listening to a podcast from Life Church Southampton. To find out more about the church or find our other resources, visit lifesouthampton.org.
It is great to see you. My name's Si, and I'm part of the team here at Life Church. And the joy is this morning you're going to hear from the team of elders here. Sadly, without John, John's not able to be with us this morning. Him and Lois are not here. But we're going to spend a little time looking through this stuff. If you've been on our website, you'll have seen this. If you've been on our Get On Board course, you'll have also seen this. But if you've not been on those, then you might not. And so it's important for us to have a little look at these things, because one of the great things about Life Church is it is not mine. It's not my church. It's not Chris's. It doesn't belong to the elders of Life Church. But equally, we are not also this kind of cooperative society where it's like our church, where we all, you know, have a vote or a say or those sorts of things. It's not ours. You see, Life Church belongs to Jesus. It is Jesus's church. It is all his. We are all his if we've put our faith and our trust in him. And if you haven't, I would love to speak to you about that later. But I want to start off this morning by reminding us that we are his church. This is all about him. This is all for him. This is all because of him. This is all through his power. Every single thing we do in church is about Jesus. And hopefully that's not new news. Hopefully, in fact, everything you hear this morning, if you've been part of Life Church for any length of time, you'll kind of go, well, yeah, that's the plan. I wanted to remind us that this is kind of how it should be. It is an absolute joy to lead Life Church alongside these wonderful men here, our eldership team. And if you don't know some of them, you're going to get to know a few of them this morning. But it is, honestly, it's one of the joys of my life to be able to meet regularly with these guys week by week as we seek to listen to what Jesus is calling us to do through his Holy Spirit and lead us as a church into all the things that he's got for us. As I said, we're taking a small break from our Life on Purpose series. But I do still want to talk for a moment about purpose, because whether they know it or not, and whether they can articulate it or not, everyone, including you, every family, every organization, all has a purpose and a mission and a set of values that they live according to. And like I say, not everyone necessarily knows that they're doing that, and not everyone could necessarily articulate that they could do that. But if you look on pretty much any company website or any church website, you'll see their kind of purpose, mission, values, all these things that kind of matter. And you have that in your life too. In a sense, that's what our whole Life on Purpose series is about. What is it that you're living for, and how are you then going to live that out? But Life Church is no different. You see, our purpose, thankfully, God like wrote it all down in a manual called the Bible, and it's pretty obvious. You just pick it up and you choose the right bit. But he said in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and this is our purpose, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. That's the fundamental purpose of what we are about, both in our individual lives and corporately together, and then how we do things. It is all actually about loving God with everything we are. See, that's known as the Great Commandment. And then Jesus repeated it again. He said it. And then a little bit later, he gives us our mission. So he says, this is your purpose. This is what you're to most importantly do and be. And then this is what you're to go and do with that. In Matthew 28, he says this: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So that's what Jesus was and continues to be about going and making disciples. It was the first thing he did when he began his ministry. He called disciples. He spent his time with those disciples. And then he said to us, and then through those disciples, go and make disciples. That is what we are about. And then our vision, and you'll see it under all of our slogans, all of our logos and everything, is bringing life to every community. That's what we are. That's how we believe we're going to work that out in our day, in our time in Southampton, is to bring life to every community. So all the communities that you are part of and that I'm part of, between us, if you think of all the different communities in our city and beyond that must be touched by somebody in Life Church, we want to bring the life that Jesus has given us to those places. That's what we are about. And after all those things, after our purpose, our mission, our vision, our values, which are these things, is kind of how it should feel as we go about it. As we do those things, what is it like to be living out that purpose, on that mission, seeing that vision come to fruition? These are our values. And first and foremost, these are about Jesus. It's the first and most important, and if we got rid of everything else, it would be the only one that stood, that we are all about Jesus. And we're going to hear about these from all of these guys. I've covered the first one, we're all about Jesus, but it runs through everything. I almost want you to sort of spot in a kind of a Where's Wally style. You turn onto every page and you say, oh, there's Jesus too. Oh, he's everywhere. That's the plan. But one thing that we're going to be talking about is something new for us. Now, you'll know if you've been to part of Life Church for some time that we have our gift days. We have these opportunities throughout the year to give into specific things. And one of the things that we're going to be doing is just changing things slightly. And in the month of November, we're going to have what we're calling our month of generosity. A month of generosity. And all through November, we're going to be thinking about how we can be generous. And this morning, the elders are going to help us to think about some ways in which we can do that. You see, we are all about Jesus, and Jesus is generous like no one else. He is unbelievably generous, even to the point of giving him his very life, his very self in place of ours, where like the stuff that Nathan read from Romans 8 earlier, where we deserve that shame and that condemnation, the guilt that he took, he gave himself in our place. Generous to the point of death. No one in human history has ever out-generoused Jesus. It's definitely not a word, but you know what I mean. No one's managed it. And since we're all about Jesus, it's inherent, therefore, to us that we are a generous people. And you are a generous people. We can give testimony to that, that you are a generous people. But no one's ever out-generoused Jesus. And so we want to push into that. We want to see what are the ways that God is calling us to be a generous people. So in November, we're going to be thinking and encouraging all of us to be generous with our time and our money and our prayer. And I just want to start off by saying we are incredibly grateful to everybody who gives financially, because it releases us to be able to do the stuff that we do as a church. It does. It is important. We can't just kind of hire places like this without actual money. It'd be nice if we could just do it on goodwill, but it doesn't work like that. And so I want to say thank you and well done for the generous giving that people do give. And like I say, during November, there'll be an opportunity to give into a special offering, all of which is going to go towards our life support fund. And as we go through this morning, you're going to hear about some of the different ways that that life support fund enables us to live out that purpose, to progress our mission, to go and make disciples of all nations, to bring that vision of bringing life to every community, and to do it as we live out these values. So I'll give you a bit more detail about how we'll do that at the end of this morning. But first up, can we go wild and rapturous applause for Mr. Chris Kilby?
Thank you, Si. Great. So we're all about Jesus. The second headline that I want to draw your attention to is that we're all hands on deck. You'll know this kind of metaphor that we've got of us being a bit like a lifeboat here at Life Church. So think of the deck. When you're thinking of the deck, don't think of kind of sun loungers and things like that. Think of either a battleship deck or a lifeboat deck, where everybody's got a role, everybody's got a responsibility, everybody's got a task, everybody's got something to do. And so when we say we're all hands on deck, what we're really saying is that each one of you is vitally important. And without you, it's not the thing it needs to be. And when you're there and you're fully playing your part, we function together for the extension of the kingdom, for the good of Jesus, really, and the fame of his name. But what it means, really, for us to be all hands on deck, it means we've got a culture of service. It means that there's a really high commitment to serving one another, when we're together on a Sunday, but also through life. And we think of ourselves as somebody, let's think about this morning, we come here as somebody who's coming to give rather than receive, who's coming to contribute rather than get. Do you understand? It's a different thing, isn't it? If you're part of the body, if you're part of the crew, if we've got this high culture of service, and if we're all hands on deck, you're coming this morning because God's got something for you to do. It might be a word of encouragement, a word of service. It could be anything. Who knows what it might be? So it means there's a high commitment to that. That's the kind of church we are. It also means that we do give loads of money and loads of effort. We are, as Si said, super generous, and we love to give to God primarily to be able to enable everything that he wants to achieve through Life Church to happen. So I want you to get swept up in this culture of generosity this month, because if we're really all hands on deck, that means everybody's got a part to play in that. From the youngest to the oldest, I would encourage you to talk to your children about this month of generosity. Some of our greatest adventures as a family have been when we've said, come on, we're going to give to this, and we've seen God provide as we've gone to do that. So it means we give loads of money and loads of effort. We've got this kind of high commitment to serving one another. That takes effort. It means some of us have to get here early. It means some of us have to stay here late. It means some of us do stuff during the week and we give our time voluntarily. It means some of us will take time to connect with others in the church. And so there's this really high commitment to serve one another. So we're a crew with all hands on deck, and that means that like when something like a Sunday happens, we've all got a part to play. And I guess the question is for you today, what is your part? You might be able to say, oh yes, I'm on a rota for doing this, and I do this. But it might be that you think, actually, I'm fairly new to the church, and I've been coming for a little while, haven't quite found my place yet. I want to encourage you to not just get on board, but get stuck in, because there will be a gap. And I'm going to highlight a couple of those this morning. Being this all hands on deck kind of culture, it means there's a kind of loyalty and a sense of teamwork. You imagine the camaraderie of a ship's crew. They kind of know one another and they share the load together. So there's this sense of loyalty and teamwork. We're all in it together. And actually just thinking about that lifeboat, it means there is a commitment to rescue. It means there's a kind of gospel commitment. It means we're all committed to together seeing lives transformed by Jesus. And of course, we've got a great example of what this kind of sacrificial service thing is all about in Jesus. Let me read you Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28. It should come up on the screen. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So the greatest in the kingdom of God are those who serve, those who sacrifice, those who are the least. And there are two areas I want to bring your attention to where you can demonstrate that true greatness of servanthood. The first one is a new initiative called the Boathouse Cafe. We've mentioned it, but I'm spotlighting it partly because it's new and we want to get it in the warp and weft of our understanding. It's a great initiative. It's a prophetic fulfillment, actually, of something that God spoke to us a while ago about the boathouse from the parable of the talents, saying, I don't want you just to have this building and to be like renovating it and doing it. I want you to put it to work. And so we began to put it to work. And so the Boathouse Cafe, Tuesdays 10 till 12, is a great drop-in cafe that anybody can come to. Now, if you've got some availability in the week, I would love you to be there. Charlotte's done a brilliant job with the team, and they've served us superbly by giving that whole deck a fresh lick of paint. And on a Tuesday morning, they open the doors to the public, and the public come in. And so it's a great point of connection, connecting the world around us with the gospel. And so here's the thing, this is a whole church initiative, and so what we really need is more folk from Life Church to come along, to make friends, to have coffee, to eat cake. It's painful, isn't it? I call it suffering for the gospel. Okay, it's not a big ask, but if you've got a little bit of availability or a bit of free time, or you're having a meeting with somebody, maybe you could meet there. There's some other ways that you can contribute, but I'll mention that in a moment. The second area I want to bring a focus to is our children, our real-life kids. Now, there's going to be some pictures coming up of some of the kids' work, because we sit in here on a Sunday and we don't see half of what's going on. But I saw these when Sash has done a great job with these photos. But it just made me smile looking at all these photos. Oh, Lord, thank you. You know, these are precious times, precious kids, and God has entrusted them to us. And I'm spotlighting this because there's quite an urgent need. there's quite an urgent need. All the groups are growing, all the children are growing, and we need more hands on deck. We need more hands on deck. We want to make sure that every team is staffed really well, just not just for now, but for the future as well. Maybe this is a way that you can pick up that charge of being all hands on deck. You know, I would love to think that even in this moment, God might speak to 5 or 10 of you about being deployed into this mission field. This is a vital part of the ship. So I'm going to finish with this, a threefold call to action. And this is something we can all do. Firstly, pray. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. So we're praying for workers. So you can do that. Could I ask you to commit to praying for more children's workers so that our kids are brilliantly served? Second thing we can do is we can give. We can give. You know, the Boathouse Cafe, we want to be able to do that really well. So in this month of generosity, can I ask you to set aside some money to give in order to see these things happen brilliantly? And it might be that the money that you give is able to meet a need of somebody that comes in to the Boathouse Cafe. And that way we're really bringing life to every community. And lastly, can I ask you to serve? Can I ask you to serve? There's a QR code on there, okay? You know how these things work. If you click on there, you can sign up for a team. Now, if you want to do it as a trial first, that's fine. If you want to have a go, that's fine. And obviously, if it's serving on the kids' teams, we'll need to do all the checks and things like that first as well. But I would love to think that in this moment, every member of our crew will be able to take a step forward and that we could truly be all hands on deck. So let me hand over to the wonderful James.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Let me ask you to start off with, have you ever been invited over to someone's house for dinner, but not actually realised you're there for dinner? So because of that, you've actually already eaten before. And then you turn up at their house and they've got the table laid with food and then you end up having another meal. Now, if you know me, I'm not a big eater. I'm more of a snacker. This hasn't happened to me just once. This has happened twice where I've turned up and I've had to sit through another meal. Now, it would have been a lot better if I was honest, wouldn't it? And just saying, look, I do apologise, I've already eaten beforehand, can I have a small meal? But why didn't I do that? It's because I was thinking, I don't want to feel bad. I don't want them to feel bad. I won't tell you who it was because actually they are a part of the church. And so saying that, I'm going to have to be honest, so I'll be honest with them afterwards. Why am I telling you this? So what have we heard already? We've had the first two culture headlines. Say it with me, we're all about Jesus, we're all about hands on deck, and this one, we're all about authenticity. So what does being authentic mean to you? Put simply, authenticity means you're honest with yourself and with others. You're true to your own personality and values, regardless of the pressure that you're under to act otherwise. And it's sometimes quite easy, isn't it, just to put a mask on and hide behind something else, not being honest, not being real. But that's not what we're called to be. Being genuine is essential for our spiritual growth and our relationships. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." I think this scripture here reminds us that our weaknesses are part of our journey. And when we embrace the authenticity, we reflect God's grace in our lives. And that's when true healing and growth can begin. Colossians 3:13, it says we are instructed to bear with each other and forgive one another. So that means being patient with each other's journeys, understanding that we're all different and we've got different points in our faith. A forgiving community, which is what we want to be, encourages people to be honest about their struggles, knowing that they'll be met with love rather than condemnation. So how can we cultivate this culture of authenticity in our church? Here's three really quick practical steps. First, be vulnerable. Share your own story, share your struggles. Your openness can encourage others to do the same. The best conversations I've had with people is that when I've opened up and I've said what I'm struggling with, and then they have as well, and then you're there together and you can pray with one another. Secondly, listen with compassion. When someone opens up to you, respond with love, respond with understanding. That listening ear can make all the difference. We don't need to fix everything, we might not have the answers, but actually being there for them is a good start. Thirdly, celebrate diversity. Embrace the uniqueness of each other's journey. authenticity can thrive in an environment that honours our differences. So I want us to commit to being a community where authenticity is valued. Let's support one another in our journeys, celebrate real stories, and be real and be honest with each other. And we want to do that. We want to be up close and personal with the community around us. We've heard about the Boathouse Cafe that we've been doing. Another thing that we're going to be doing that we started earlier this year is called Winter Beds. So a few other churches have been doing it before us. They came to us last year and asked if we could host it at the Boathouse. And we're going to be doing it again in January. This year we did it for 2 weeks. And this next January we're going to be doing it for all 4 weeks. So other churches come along, and basically we open up the bottom floor of the Boathouse, put up 12 beds every night, serve people food, and it's for those that are going to be sleeping out on the streets through the cold month of January. And we're going to be doing it every night. So we get there about 7 o'clock, like I said, put the 12 beds up, and we host. And we host people there, and we chat to them. And it's a great opportunity to serve people in the community. So we say, like, what can we do? So it's three things again: time, money, and prayer. And I'd love us to be generous. Firstly, with our time. Authenticity, like I said, it's when you say and do the things that you actually believe. And if we believe that we are a church that looks after those in need, let's do it. I'm speaking to myself here. So when I'm talking about winter beds, I went along for a shift earlier this year, and it's amazing to see the people there that come in, and they're lost. They are lost, but they're coming in, and they're so thankful for having a room, having a bed, and having some food, and having people to actually speak to. And they come away thinking, this is such a great thing. And I'm going to be doing it again this year, and I'd love other people to sign up as well. Sign up to a shift. You can either do an evening shift, an overnight, or a morning shift, and we'll be able to do that. And we'll send some information later on in November, so you can sign up to that. Secondly, your money that you'll be giving will help with things like winter beds. So it's going into the life support fund, but we'll be able to help and we'll be able to support people. Kind of defeats the purpose if we can't afford heating in the Boathouse and it's a cold space. It wants to be a warm space for people. So let's make sure that we are able to do that. And thirdly, pray. We can be praying, and we're actually going to do that just for a moment now. We've listened to the first three culture headlines, and we're going to hear about the next in a moment. But I'd love us just to pray, just in threes or fours, just around you, just for 2 minutes and for two things. And the prayer points are going to come up on the screen. First one, that we'll be an authentic church, as we are real with each other and honest with each other. We bear with one another. And secondly, as we host winter beds, it makes a genuine difference to those that are coming. And we can point people to Jesus through what we are doing. So let's pray now. We're going to split into just go into groups of three or four, someone around you, 2 minutes, two prayer points. Just someone pray just for those things. And then Palumi is just going to come and close up as we do.
We thank you, Jesus, that you are so good. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we get as a church to serve this city, to serve our community through winter beds. I pray, Lord, that you help us, each one of us, to be generous with our time as we seek to serve our community, to be generous with our money as we look to serve in this way. I pray also, Lord, that you'd help us to be authentic in who we, in the way we act, in the way we relate to those around us, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, and be at work in our hearts, each one of us, for your glory, Jesus, and in your name, amen. Amen. So, the next one is, we are all about people. You know, right at the start of Jesus's earthly ministry, he walked into the synagogue, and he reads from Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Now, as Christians, we're also called to this same mission. This same mission that Jesus came to achieve is what we are called to. And as a church, that is what we are called to. We have a part to play in it. This mission is all about people. Jesus is all about people. And as we are all about Jesus, it means that we also are all about people. We live in a world where debt is a real issue and a big problem for many in our society. Too many people around us are drowning in unmanageable debt. And as a church who love people, we are here and we are keen to bring good news to the poor and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, or the year of Jubilee, to those around us. We care about each person's eternal Jubilee as well as their temporal needs. And this is why we run the CAP Debt Center. Now, I'd love to invite Charlotte to come up and share a little bit. I'm just going to ask her a few questions about CAP. Please welcome Charlotte.
Thank you.
Now, Charlotte, can you just tell us, what is CAP?
Stands for Christians Against Poverty. It's kind of in the name as to what we do. Christians Against Poverty have been running since 1996 and were founded to help people who are mostly people who are battling with debt. We provide some financial literacy services as well, but that's fundamentally the work. The charity is unusual because it's all about people who are in debt, but all about them being introduced to Jesus as well. So there's like two parts to the work. It's like we're Christians against poverty. And the way the charity work is we partner with the local church to deliver that service. So Christians Against Poverty partner with Life Church to run the debt centre through which we help people out of debt. And other churches partner with Christians Against Poverty to provide various training courses. So it might be a money management course or life skills. We do the money management course as well, but most of what we do is the debt centre here.
That's great.
Does that answer your question?
It does. Good. Yes, that's fantastic. Can you tell us how is CAP funded?
So where we partner with Christians Against Poverty, they provide the trained financial advisors, and we provide the sort of face-to-face people who are trained to provide the help with it, sort of in people's houses. That head office service is quite expensive to run. They also provide the IT, the training for us. The Christians Against Poverty fund most of that themselves through donations from individuals, grants, things like that. But the churches that partner with them also make a donation towards that. So we we give regularly to Christians Against Poverty to fund that. So it's a kind of combination of things.
That's great. Thank you. That's helpful. And finally, can you just tell us something that has happened recently, or a couple of things that have recently happened?
We've had a great month, actually. It always has its highs and lows. We've had two people who have gone debt-free this month, which is great. Every time someone goes debt-free, we have a little cut-out person that we put on our notice board. And actually, I'll have to share a picture of it because it's a growing string of people who've gone debt-free, which is great. Mm. We've also got a couple of testimonies. We had a recent client who, she's unfortunately passed away recently, and she'd grown up in church as a teenager but had turned her back on Jesus. And Carol and I went to see her a number of times. We weren't able to go through the full process with her because she was terminally ill, but we were able to pray with her and talk about faith with her. And a couple of days before she died, she gave her life to Jesus, which is amazing. I'd love to say I led her in that prayer, but I didn't. But, you know, it's still great to be part of it. And just another quick testimony. We had another lady who came with us and came to us, and she'd suddenly got this letter from the courts out of the blue for a debt she just shouldn't have to pay. It was completely unjust, but it was going to the court. She was told she had to pay it. She's a Christian, so we prayed, but we also supported her through the sort of putting a plan together. And her only option was to go bankrupt, which she really didn't want to do. So we kept praying. She did what she had to do with the court paperwork. She filled it in. She sent them the financial statement that we produce. Nothing coming back. And then completely out of the blue, she got a text from the lawyers who were representing the person who said she owed the money, just a text that just said, our client has instructed us they're no longer pursuing this debt. And she... She sent me a screenshot and she said, I don't know what to make of this. And it's like, I think God answered your prayer. So,
amen.
It's been a good month.
Amen. That's great. Thank you very much, Charlotte. That's fantastic. That's just brilliant, isn't it? To hear about people being saved, their prayers being answered in that way, people becoming debt-free. Let me ask you this. What is your part in this? We've each got the opportunity to be generous with our giving so that we can continue to fund what CAP is doing, what the CAP Debt Centre here is doing. We've got an opportunity to give of our time, to be a befriender. So every time Charlotte or Roz go and visit someone, when they visit a client, usually someone comes with them. And this person befriends, and the person is just there just to support and just be a friend to the person that they're supporting. We've also got an opportunity to pray for the team and to pray for the clients so that we can hear more and more stories of that, of people being free from debt, of people being saved. In addition to being all about people, and because we are all about people, we are all in, which is the next headline. Now, what this means is that we're not just people who give on a Sunday morning. It means that being part of the body isn't just once a week. We are in this 24/7. I've also said here 4.312. You know, 4.3 weeks a month, 12 months a year. Don't you think like that? Is it just me? This isn't a Sunday only thing. It's a Monday through Saturday and also Sunday. This will mean making use of your gifts, of your skills, your passions, your experiences. And even those things that you sometimes might think, yeah, well, I know how to do that, but it's not really my thing. So it might be that thing that you give. We're all in. For some people, this will mean getting up early on a Saturday morning to help serve breakfast to those in our city who need food. Or it might mean getting up early on a Saturday morning so that you can go and chat with someone who just wants company while they're eating their breakfast. Maybe for you, it means getting to work that little bit early to pray for your workplace and to pray for your colleagues or your university mates. Or maybe it is offering to pray for that friend who has a back pain or to give that person a lift just after life group who lives in the opposite direction to where you're actually going. It might also mean getting involved in your local school or other things that are happening in your local community so that you can be the one who brings good news in that place. Being all in massively impacts our time, your morning, your afternoon, your night. Now we see in Luke chapter 8, Jesus's example of doing this when he gives time to engage with the woman who had a health condition, a woman who'd been bleeding for years. Jesus was on his way somewhere else to heal someone else, but stops and engages with her. He was interruptible. This might be what it means for you. Generally, that's what it means. It would mean giving our time. And it's going to look different for each one of us. But there is one thing that we all can be part of, even if we're playing different roles. Can you give your time? on a Saturday morning, to serve at the breakfast club. This is something else that we do as a church to serve our community. Why not sign up, join the team, or pray for the team and pray for those people who come there. Some of them are people who are sleeping on the streets. Some have homes but are lonely. You can pray for those guys. Or maybe God is calling you to give generously with your finances so that we can continue to serve our city in this way. I'll hand over to Si now.
Brilliant. Thanks, P. I'm hoping this is helpful to get a flavour of what it's like to be part of Life Church, and you'll be glad to know that we're on the sixth of our cultural headlines, and there's only 24. There's six. We're okay. We're all right. We are there. Some things I've noticed as we've been doing this, because it's not often you get to see everybody all in one little slot. Chris has been spending quite a lot of time in Italy recently, and I don't know if anyone else noticed. There's a lot of Italian hands coming out, which is, you know, it's just great. And this is the thing with culture, right? You know, it just gets into you. Also, James came around to my house, apparently. It was, you know, it's only been how many years? About 7 years. So we are occasionally all about authenticity. Couple of things. I want to just land this for us a little bit practically and then finish on one last bit. Can I encourage you? Maybe what you might want to do is just get your phone and do two things. One, set an alarm, like a recurrent alarm that's going to just ping at you at like maybe an appropriate moment, or maybe just a really annoying moment every day where you're going to go, why is that? Oh, yeah. And you're going to pray. Just pick one of these things, something that you've heard this morning, something that just resonated with you, or just somebody else that you know and love, and just pray for them. Because otherwise, like if you're like me, this like mornings like this, you go, oh yeah, do you know what? That's great. I love that. Oh, that's really good. I love being part of a church that does stuff like that. And then you go out there and then it's gone. So maybe set an alarm. Another one would be to put something in your diary now that means you're going to look at your financial situation. To just have a look at it. Because if you're, again, anything like me, you'll go, oh gosh, things are tight. I'm not sure. But actually, when you look and you think, okay, where's this going and where's that going and what are we doing here? It will enable you to then do something about it. And then another final bit would be to just go and thank somebody. There are already this morning multiple people who will have served you. And so can I encourage you to thank them? Let's have a culture of generosity with our gratitude. So whether it's kids workers when you're picking them up, or kids workers who are in here this week because they're not on something else, or a musician or one of these guys or somebody, just go and say thank you. And then if you want to get involved on those teams so that next time we do something like this, you get thanked, then you've got a terrible heart motive. But if that's what it takes, you know, scan the QR code, join a team. Last little bit. One of the things that just makes me smile in life is, because I'm a very sad little man, really, is the words that they use to describe film ratings. You know, when you go onto Netflix or something like that and it says, like, this film contains something, something, something. My favourite one is Mild Peril. Okay, if you go onto Netflix or something, there's often, like, particularly kids' films, it'll say, this film contains mild peril. And Mild Peril was frankly over the limit for a long time in our house with our kids to watch any kind of film. If it was like even mild peril, we knew that we were going to have like wakeful nights and kids coming in going, oh, I'm having bad dreams. And it's like, ah, that'll be the mild peril. The problem is films with anything less than mild peril are generally boring and rubbish. Right? Almost all of them. They're just not good. I think mild, if not moderate, if not extreme at points, peril is a really good way to describe the Christian life. Or it should be, if you're actually living the Christian life. You see, our final one is that we are all on an adventure. Or hopefully we're all on an adventure. At least we should be. See, I think a life of faith, where we're actually following the call of Jesus, should lead us into multiple moments of mild peril, at least. Where, because we're putting our trust in him, it leads us to do things where if God doesn't show up, we're stuffed. Right? Like we've maybe got ourselves into a situation, in a conversation where it's like, oh man, I'm going to have to offer to pray for them. Or I'm going to have to tell them that I'm a Christian and I believe there is actually a hope. or I'm going to have to actually like give something out of just the baseline that I've kind of neatly orchestrated my whole life with. It leads us into mild peril. See, Jesus invites his disciples into a life of mild peril. He says stuff to them like, come. That's all he says. He just goes to these guys on a beach and he says, come, follow me. And they go, what, leave everything behind and follow you? He goes, yep. And then he goes to them and he does stuff like, put your net down on the other side of the boat. And they're like, no, we know what we're doing. It's like, we're going to look stupid here. It's a life of mild peril. Things that would look foolish, frankly, if Jesus doesn't back it up. But you see, this is the thing about being on an adventure with Jesus. And if you are one that have discovered this already, you are the richest people in the whole universe because he always backs it up. Never, ever, ever does Jesus go, come with me and we'll do this thing. Let's watch how badly wrong that goes. He just doesn't do it. He goes, come with me, come with me, come with me. And he leads you on a life of adventure. And that's, in a sense, the invitation for all of us. And that counts for the whole of life. But I want to land it in one specific bit, because Chris has already sort of mentioned this. One of those adventures is with our money. Jesus did not shy away from talking about finance and money. And so neither do we, because we're all about Jesus and he's interested in this. And frankly, our money, if we're following Jesus, should involve mild peril. If your life is so sewn up and your budget so finely tuned that there's no space for faith and generosity, I want to guess, just leave us with the challenge. Are we actually following Jesus with our whole life? So everything that's given in this month of generosity, everything that's going to go into this special offering, is all going to go to the Life Support Fund. The Life Support Fund is kind of the umbrella thing that encapsulates all this stuff. So winter beds, breakfast club, our cap stuff, our kind of any opportunity where we meet the needs of those who don't have, that's what we do. And it's sometimes actually that this fund is the answer to the other people, the answer is kind of the peril that other people have found themselves in. When their life has led them on this actually less of a kind of fun, exciting adventure and more into absolute chaos and carnage in their life, this fund has come through and been the answer to actually lots and lots of prayers. So, for example, it can be often it's a sudden bill that comes to somebody who's connected to somebody here or even somebody in our church that bill would just tip them into poverty and would mean they don't have enough to feed themselves or their kids that month. It might be that that Life Support Fund funds a food parcel for when the money has just run out that month. It might be that this Life Support Fund is able to buy a new washing machine for the family that is in absolute need of one of those. It's out of this fund that, like I say, our cap debt centre, our breakfast club, our winter beds and everything else that we've heard about this morning is funded. And you might be thinking, I can't be any more generous with my time. I know there's multiple people around this room who have jobs that like are frankly pushed past the margin of making it work with family life. But it might be that job enables you to be generous with your money. This is not a, like, we want everyone to feel a little bit guilty so that everyone does something this morning. That's never the point. What Nathan read earlier in Romans 8, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, is the baseline. For everything we do, it is all about grace. That's, you could read, we're all about Jesus as we're all about grace. So there's no obligation for anyone to do something here. And if you've got no time, we would love you to think about what you can do with your money. And if you've got no time or money, then you can pray. Everybody can do that. There's something here for us all to do. Because you see, the exciting thing, and like it is with any of those kind of boring kids films, it's all about like going on an adventure, and they're always about going on that adventure together, right? So what I don't want this to ever become is that you guys sit here and you watch us on an adventure with Jesus, and we get to tell you the stories of what he's doing in our lives. Because whilst that's mildly interesting, it involves no mild peril in your own life. And that's the adventure that Jesus is calling you all to. So if you've already discounted yourself, I want you to hear the words of Jesus again when he says to those disciples, come, follow me. And if you've kind of grown a bit dull to his voice, we're going to sing in a moment. And I want you to just open yourself again. Just say, Jesus, are you calling me to do something? Are you calling to me to come and follow you in maybe one or two or three or four of these areas? What is it that you're asking of me? Maybe for some of you, this is in terms of the money thing, it's just one step. Maybe you've never thought about giving anything to Life Church or any charity. And actually for you, it's that in November, for this 1 month, you're going to be generous in one step. You're going to give something. Maybe it's that actually you're going to start giving regularly. That'll be your exciting adventure into mild peril, thinking, okay, how's this going to work? I'm going to have to adjust some of the things I normally do in order to be able to give out of the stuff that Jesus has given to me that I get to give back to him through the church. Parents, can I encourage you to think with your kids about how to do this as family? What does this look like for all of us? Leading ourselves into adventure, Jesus gives us a responsibility. So my dad has just got back from Ukraine, where he's been driving a van to go and support some churches out there. Joe's dad is currently in Spain helping a church out there. For us as family, being able to talk to our kids to say, do you know what, both your grandfathers are in their retirement serving Jesus in different ways. And one of it looks like driving a van for hours and hours and hours on end. And one of it looks like probably embarrassing himself in terrible Spanish. But it's about an adventure, and it's a family thing. So can I encourage you to think about that? The reality is, for us, just to kind of lay it out there, for our life support fund to just keep doing what we need to do, we need to top it up by about £10,000. But if we have more than that, we can do more than that. We can release more and more of the kingdom of God into our city. So I want to just encourage us to just live out what it means to be a generous church, through being all about Jesus and all about all of these other things, but he's the focus. So I'm going to invite the band to just come and lead us. We're going to sing a song together, and I'm going to invite us to stand if we're able to. And I want to pray for us, because I'm aware you've been bombarded with lots of information and lots of stuff, and it can feel maybe a little bit overwhelming. And frankly, it won't be me or Chris or Palumi or James or John who convince you of these things. It will always be the work of the Holy Spirit at work in us. So let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I thank you that your invitation to each and every one of us is to come and to follow you. And that as we do that, you lead us into fullness of life. And that out of that fullness of life, we get to bring that life to every community that we're part of. And so, Lord Jesus, I want to pray that as we sing this song and as we go from this place, Lord Jesus, that we'll be a people of action. Lord, that those that you're speaking to, that you're calling to come and serve on the kids' teams here, Lord, they take that step and talk to somebody about it. Lord, for those who you're just calling them to relook at their finances, to think about where their giving is going and where their heart might actually be, Lord Jesus, that you'll do that by your Spirit. But Lord, we want to be those who respond to your generosity. We want to be those who respond to your invitation into a life of adventure. And Lord, I pray as well that, Lord, for those of us who've got questions about this, we'll be authentic about that. And we'll talk to somebody and say, I'm just not quite sure how this looks or what that means for me. Let us be those people. But Holy Spirit, we invite you to come and work in our hearts now. And we ask in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Life Church Southampton. Check out lifesouthampton.org for more.